Many people know the President of the United States. Many people could, if they wanted to, introduce you to the President of the United States. But what Jesus is saying here is that with God, it's different. No one knows the Father except the Son.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, we often talk about having a personal relationship with God, knowing God. It sounds like you're saying, no, you're not going to know God the Father necessarily.
Except through Jesus Christ, his Son. Steve, I often have conversations where people will say, you know, I like to think of God like this. And the idea that's common these days is that we somehow all have an intuitive knowledge of God. No, actually, we don't. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son reveals him. So It's through Jesus Christ that we come to know God the Father. And that's why to get to the Bible, to get to the Gospels, is going to be the only way in which we'll come to know God as he really is.
So it really is so important for us to be spending time in God's Word, discovering who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and his character.
That's where we're going to get the knowledge of God and nowhere else. But that's why the revelation of God speaking, revealing himself, and revealing himself through his Son is such wonderful good news for us.
Well, that's part of what we're going to be looking at in today's broadcast. We're actually beginning a new series called Rock Solid, Seven Promises Christ Makes to You. Today, we begin a message entitled, Jesus Will Give You Rest. Here is Pastor Colin.
I hope you'll open your Bible then at Matthew and chapter 11, verse 28. We want to focus in on this one scripture. We're not going to be going anywhere else, but I want you to see its words and for the Holy Spirit to apply these words into all of our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." There's the promise. I will give you rest. Now, back in the 4th century, as many of you know, there was a man by the name of Augustine. He was raised by a godly mother. Her name was Monica, and she prayed for him very faithfully. Augustine was a restless kind of a guy, and he left home early in life and threw himself really into a very profligate life. He says in his Confessions a very interesting thing. He says, "I was in love with love, and I hated safety." Very interesting. He threw himself into profligate relationships, and he wanted to live on the edge. He was tired of his conservative upbringing. "I hated safety," he says. "I wanted to get out, break out, do what my parents would never have done." And as he followed the passions of his own heart, he found that these passions made him a slave. He became a slave to his own passions. His mother, Monica, who wept over him often, prayed for him faithfully. That's a whole story in itself. And after some years, Augustine wonderfully came to faith in Jesus Christ. The mother's prayers were heard and wonderfully answered. And Augustine wrote a line that has really come down to us in history. It's really out of one of his prayers. He said this, "Our hearts are restless until," he said, "they find their rest in you," speaking to God. Now, Augustine knew that from his own experience. He found that in his own nature, and we know that from our experience too. The human heart is full of longing. We want to be loved. We all want to succeed. We all want to be happy, to make the best of our lives. The prevailing desires in our hearts will differ from one person to another and may change over the course of the years of our life. One person wants love. Another person wants revenge. One person wants to be independent. Let me alone. Another person would do anything to avoid being alone. One person wants to be where the action is. Let me get in the thick of it. Another person is tired of the rat race and says, "Let me get out of it. I want some peace and some quiet." One person is desperate for security. Another person is tired of security. which is where Augustine was when he said, I hated safety. So the longings that drive us differ, and they may change over the course of our lives, but all of us are moved by the desires of our hearts. And Augustine says, and we recognize this, our hearts are restless, which is why we live with questions all the time. For some of us here, it's, you know, every day you're asking this question. It's in the back of your mind. Am I a good mother? And that just runs and runs in your mind. There's a restlessness in your heart that just keeps producing that question. For someone else, it's, can I really cut the mustard? Can I deliver what is expected of me? For someone else, it's, does anybody really care about me? For someone else, it's, what am I to do next? And that restlessness sort of churns within us. It's the nature of human experience. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Satan made two false promises. You remember when Satan, the serpent, came into the Garden of Eden, he said two things to Eve and to Adam. He said, you won't die. That was a false promise. And he said, you will know the difference between good and evil. You will know the difference between good and evil. Now, with these promises, the serpent enlisted the man and the woman in his rebellion against God. And do you remember what happened next in the Bible story? That God came into the garden, and when the man and his wife, who had believed the false promises of Satan, you won't die and you will know the difference between good and evil, they hid in the trees. And suddenly this marvelous paradise in which they had known nothing but joy and harmony together and fellowship with God and fulfillment in their work and provision for all their needs, this garden which everything had been right became a place of fear. It became a place of hiding. It became a place of shame. Can you imagine the man and the woman hiding in the trees in order to keep a distance from the God who is the source of every good in their life? And Adam's heart is beating and Eve's palms are sweating and they're thinking, we don't want God to find us. They're scared of God. And these two who had lived in such marvelous peace are now experiencing turmoil. Oh, the serpent says, I will not die, but God says, I will die. What happens when I do die? The serpent says, I'll know what's good and what's evil, but it seems right now as I'm hiding here in the trees, this isn't very good. I'm experiencing fear. I'm experiencing shame. Why am I hiding? Why am I so afraid? And suddenly the first man and the first woman experience the draining and the exhausting experience of a restless heart. And that's been our experience ever since. It's the human condition. Searching after something. Driven. And then Jesus comes and he says, come to me. All you who are weary, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the promise. Now, I want us to see three things today. The first is for us to grasp more clearly who Jesus is, because this is such an extraordinary promise. Only the Son of God could make this promise to us. And in order that we may believe the promise better, I want us to come to know more clearly who it is that gives it to us. So I want us to see who Jesus is. Second, I want us to hear what it is that he says, because there is something for us to do here in order to experience what he offers. And then that will lead to the third thing. I want us to receive. We're not here to talk about theory. I want us to receive more of what Jesus Christ says he will give to us, what he promises to give to us, and to do that even here today.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Jesus Will Give You Rest. And we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. So I hope you'll stay with us. Our message is part of a larger series called Rock Solid. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can listen online at openthebible.org, or you can order a copy of the series on CD. Ask about Rock Solid when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. 573-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
So let's begin then by looking at three qualifications, learning better who Jesus is. Let us see what it is that puts Jesus in the position where he is able to make this promise to us. Obviously, any promise is only as good as the trustworthiness of the person making it, and the credibility of this vast promise that Jesus makes rests on his capacity to fulfill what he says. Now, in verse 27, we learn in three ways why Jesus is able to deliver this remarkable promise. The first thing we learn here in verse 27 is that God always works through his Son. Notice Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father." All things have been committed to me by my Father. Now, it is a fundamental principle of leadership that if you commit something to someone on your team, you delegate that responsibility, you say, now you're in charge of this, you commit it into their hands, you may then work with them in it, but what you don't do is that you don't then go off and independently do the very thing that you've trusted into their hands on your own without them. If, for example, we're involved in a project, we're remodeling a room together, and one of the guys on the team, let's call him David, we say to David, now David, you're in charge of everything to do with the painting. All the decisions about the colors, everything to do with painting, you're in charge of that. We commit it to David. Now, if we're on the team, you're the team leader, you may work with David in the painting. We may all pitch in this area that has been assigned to him in one way or another. But one thing we will not do is go and engage in the painting independently of David, because it's committed to him. Now, what is it, I'm asking you to respond here from this text, what is it in this text that we are told the Father has committed to the Son, to Jesus Christ? What has been committed to him? All things. Not some things. All things. What that means is that the Father always works through and with the Son, and never without the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now say, wait a minute, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, born into the world, Christmas. You're talking about the New Testament. That just starts after Christmas, right? No. God has always been Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And what our Lord Jesus tells us here when he says, all things have been committed to me by the Father always works through the Son. That has always been true and always will be true. That is why even if you think of the creation of the world, remember what it says at the beginning of John's Gospel? In the beginning was the Word, that's the second person of the Trinity. The Word was with God and the Word was God. All things were made by him, the second person of the Trinity, and without him nothing was made that has been made. That's John chapter 1 and verse 2. See, the Father has committed to him all things, and so even the creation is the work of the Father through the Son, and never without the Son. You say, well, what about all the Old Testament scriptures where there were prophets speaking the word of God? Have you ever noticed in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, when Peter is describing what it was that the prophets said in the Old Testament period, he says this, that the Old Testament prophets were searching diligently to try and find out the circumstances to which they were being pointed by the Spirit of Christ in them. That's 1 Peter 1:11. The Spirit of Christ was in the Old Testament prophets, pointing them towards that which would be fulfilled in the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you read the Old Testament scriptures, you are reading the Word of the second person of the Trinity. Why? Because the Father always works through the Son. Never without him. That's why when you come to salvation, what do we read in the scriptures? God so loved the world that he did what? He gave us his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And even when you come to the final judgment, Jesus says this, John chapter 5 and verse 22, the Father judges no one. He has entrusted all judgment to the Son. So here's the principle. God always works through his Son. Always has, always will. All things have been committed to the Son by the Father. Then Jesus says something even more remarkable. He tells us that the Son has exclusive knowledge of the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. No one knows the Father except the Son. This is amazing. Many people know the President of the United States. So many people can tell you about the President of the United States. Many people could, if they wanted to, introduce you to the President of the United States. But what Jesus is saying here is that with God, it's different. No one knows the Father except the Son. Now, this is so important, because when we get to this promise today, you know, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It would be very easy for us postmodern people to hear that promise like this. We might hear, well, you know, some of you here are tired and weary, and if you feel a deep need within your heart, it's a wonderful thing that you can come to Jesus, and Jesus is going to help you. And that, of course, is true. And our postmodern world would like that to be the only thing that's true. Because what that leaves you with is a sort of take it or leave it, Jesus. If you feel your need of Jesus, you can come to him. If you don't feel your need of Jesus, hey, you know, get on with life your own way. I want you to understand from the scriptures today that the great New Testament reason for coming to Jesus Christ is not if you happen to feel some great need in your heart. The great reason, the great argument for coming to Jesus Christ in the New Testament right here is this, that without Jesus, you don't know God, you can't find God, you don't have God, and on the last day you will not have a hope in hell before God. That's the reason for coming to Jesus Christ. Because no one knows the Father except the Son. And there is no other way into knowledge of the Father, into relationship with the God of heaven and earth, except through the Son, because the Father has committed all things to the Son, and no one knows the Father except the Son. Then Jesus says this, that he can reveal the Father to us if he chooses to. Notice what he says in verse 27, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So what he's saying is this, I have exclusive knowledge of the Father, and all things have been trusted by the Father into my hands, but if you will come to me, I invite you. If you will come to me, he's saying, I can bring you into this knowledge of God. I can bring you into a relationship with God. He is saying to you what no one else in all of the world can say. Now that's who Jesus is. Let's look secondly at what it is that the Son of God says to us. There are two things that he invites us to do here. There are different ways of saying the same thing, but there's clearly something for us to do, and it's important for us here to hear what Jesus says. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls. I want you to notice that if we are to receive what Jesus offers, there clearly is something for us to do. And we need to hear this clearly. Because what we experience or what we do not experience from the Lord Jesus Christ clearly relates to whether we are doing these things that he tells us to do, invites us to do, or whether we are not doing them. There are things that you can do today that some people will do today and some people will not do today, and our experience will differ. Because there's a part for you to play here. Satan sows unbelief in the hearts of many whenever the word of God is preached. here's how he might do it with this verse with you. He might already be saying to you, Jesus says you can have rest, you don't have rest, therefore this is all talk, this is all, yeah, nothing to it. Heard it all before. But actually, you're not hearing what Jesus says. Jesus says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. There's something I want you to do in order for you, weary as you are, to experience what I am promising to give you. We really need to hear this clearly then. What is it that Jesus says we're to do? He says, come to me. Now, I find just sometimes that it helps to sharpen my understanding of what our Lord is saying when I put it alongside what he didn't say. It just clears it up a little bit for me. So let me just do that in two ways very briefly here. I am so glad that Jesus said, come to me, and that he did not say, practice spiritual disciplines. You glad about that? You know, when I get really weary, when I'm feeling that I'm at the end of my rope, I don't want to hear a message that basically is saying to me, try harder, do more, you know, up your effort. And I'm exhausted, that's not going to help me. Thank God Jesus says, come to me. He does not say, practice more spiritual disciplines. And I say this because Jesus was speaking to people whose faith in itself had become a burden to them. Jesus was speaking to perhaps the most religious, faithful people who'd ever lived. People who were pouring everything into living a model life and who were praying regularly and reading and studying the Torah and so forth. They were doing their best to live godly lives, as many of us are, but they felt crushed, crushed by their own attempts to please God, defeated in an attempt to do what is good. And Jesus is speaking to these model, disciplined folks who are pouring themselves into trying to live a good, right life. And he does not say, add in another set of spiritual disciplines. He says, come to me, and I'll give you something.
Really a helpful look at the invitation that Jesus offers to us. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and a message, the first one, in fact, in a series called Rock Solid, Seven Promises Christ Makes to You. And we are looking at that promise that Jesus gives in Matthew 11, that he will give us rest when we come to him. Well, we do have to pause the teaching here, but we'll continue next time. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's openthebible.org, or you can listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it is for anyone who has ever experienced any doubt, and I would think that's pretty much anyone. You know, faith always has questions because there are so many things that God has not yet revealed to us. You know, sometimes I think when people doubt, they think, I must be the only person that has this question. Well, the good news is actually the Bible is filled with characters who doubted and had different kinds of doubt. And what Phil Ryken has done very wonderfully in this book is he's identified not only different stories of doubt, so we're introduced to different characters, but different types of doubt. So, for example, Eve had doubts about God's word. Moses had doubts about God's call. You've got Naomi, who had doubts about God's generosity. You had Asaph, who had doubts about God's justice. So you discover different kinds or families of doubt, and real people who actually battled their way through it. It's a wonderful book, and I think it's profoundly helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org, or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
everyone has questions about heaven. But the question that matters most is, how do you get there? Many people have the idea that if a person was to get into heaven, they'd get there by living a good enough life. Well, the thief on the cross hadn't lived a good enough life, and he wasn't in a position to start living a good life. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, if the thief could get into heaven, so can you. Heaven, How I Got Here is a compelling 60-minute film in which Stephen Baldwin portrays the thief on the cross in a one-person play. Many have found that this story opens their eyes to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the hope of heaven. You can watch the Heaven How I Got Here film for free on the Open the Bible website. For more information, visit openthebible.org/heaven. That's openthebible.org/heaven.